Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. And today we are talking Facebook and Instagram ads for podcasters with special guest Megan Shields. So if you don't mind, if you're listening live, hit the share button and share it with somebody on Clubhouse. And if you're listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster or friend. And then in the meantime, give me about 2 minutes to deal with more tech issues and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. I am back in North Carolina, back in my studio. Nothing should be going wrong, yet here we are. I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. Everything.
You've been bit.
I have.
You've been bit by the tech bug this week.
Literally every day this week. Very weird. Now, I chalked it up last 2 days to being on the road and using all of my remote equipment, but I don't get it for today. Just really weird.
Maybe we should have like a cue. I'm going to send you a flower emoji.
Yes, I was thinking this. I was thinking this of asking you guys this. Moving forward, I think we're going to have a special emoji to identify when I'm not being heard. So we'll figure that out. Thank you for your patience, everybody. So with that, as I said, I think, well, you'll hear it on the podcast episode. You didn't hear it in here. Today, we are digging into Facebook ads and Instagram ads and how we can use them to promote and grow our podcast. And we have Megan Shields with us today. I'll tell you a little bit more about her, about how she got on this stage in just a moment. First, I want to say hello to those moderators that are here this morning. First, we have Simona, good morning to you, Simona. I have an icebreaker question, as I usually do, to kick off the room, and I felt like this would be an appropriate one based on today's topic. Simona, if you had an unlimited budget to advertise a single episode of either of your two podcasts, which would it be and why? Good morning.
Ooh, it would be the one that I did a few weeks ago on Happiness Happens with the person I interviewed. His name is Topaz Adizes, and he is the creator of The Skin Deep. I don't know if you're familiar, if anyone's familiar with that series, but it's the series where you ask each other questions and you're sitting in front of each other. It's really cool. It's got like millions of followers on social media. But I really like that conversation just because of what the conversation itself was. And actually, Dominic is helping me sort of reframe that episode so that I can send it and submit it to different awards. So yeah, I think I would promote that episode. I really loved that conversation.
That's awesome. When you say he's helping you with reframing that, what does that look like? Well, what specifically, or if you don't mind sharing, are you guys doing to help that one as you submit it for awards?
Good question. We haven't fully made it that far yet, but he listened to the episode for me and I asked him if he had any thoughts or any feedback and what his thoughts were around the episode. So we're just trying to figure out a day to get on a call so he can give me all of his thoughts and feedback. But what I'm thinking that might look like is, you know, structuring questions, maybe pauses, cues, like that kind of stuff, and like the actual structure of the episode. That's what I'm thinking, but I can report back once we actually meet, which hasn't been yet, but hopefully soon.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Looking forward to that.
I'm sending you a flower. We can't hear you again. Flowers. Okay, since we can't hear Mark, I'm going to pick this up. Sid, what would you, if you had unlimited funds, unlimited amount of funds, which episode would you promote and why?
You know, this is a really, really hard question for me to answer because the first thing I think about is why would I advertise a show that is in such a niche market like office furniture, which I'm sure Megan's probably going to, I'm setting her up for a conversation for sure. But I think about some of my favorite episodes and the one that when Mark asked you the question, the one that came to my mind immediately was episode number 100, because it was a really momentous episode, right? We get to 100, that's something definitely to celebrate. And then I would actually say because that episode revealed so much about me and about my journey, about the show and what the purpose of the show is, that if I was trying to attract people to my podcast about office furniture, that would be a great one to use to get people to want to come listen.
Okay. Can you hear me again?
Yes. Did you hear flowers?
Yeah, I did. And I can still, the crazy thing is I still hear you guys when you can't hear me. Please bear with me. We'll figure it out.
We've got you. Don't worry.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep things moving. I want to get things started while you can hear me. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to welcome in Megan Shields. And Megan and I got connected through Simona. Simona interviewed Megan on her podcast as it relates to podcasting, which I believe that's coming out very soon. This week, Simona, is that right?
Next week.
Next week.
All of March.
Okay, yeah. So as some of you know, Simona does her podcast with one guest. She breaks it into usually four parts. So each week you get a new topic with that guest. So they were talking, as we're going to, Facebook and Instagram ads. And side note, for those of you joining us at the Empowered Podcasting event in Charlotte at the end of June, Megan has been a big factor in that decision to go to Charlotte because that's where she is. And besides being the owner of Chime Media, she's also the president of the American Marketing Association there in Charlotte. So she knows a lot of people and she knows a lot of podcasters. So not only is she kind of like our boots on the ground person, she's also going to be a bit of a recruiter and bring some new people into this community. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's been great working with her already. So she's got some strong ties to this community already. Let me first say hello to Megan officially. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on Clubhouse. This is my first audio-only podcast, and I am just like loving the vibe of it being audio-only, so thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, first thing in the morning, we figure let's remain an audio-only kind of show because usually most of us aren't feeling very presentable at 7 a.m.
Oh, yeah. It's good that you cannot see me right now.
Well, I did see you because you posted on Instagram on your story that you were getting ready to join us. Yeah.
God bless a filter. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. So let's dig in. And I do want to say anybody on stage is more than welcome to ask a question. Feel free to come up if you're in the audience and we will get to your questions as well. I'll kick things off with you, Megan. And I want to I want to start it off just to get to know you a little bit more. Can you first share a fun fact about yourself? Maybe it's something that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah. I don't like going to the movies.
Oh.
I love movies and I love to watch movies, but like I will not go to a theater. It has been probably 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Been in a movie theater. Yeah.
I was going to ask if maybe it had to do with the pandemic, but no.
well before that. And it's weird. Like, I don't know what it is. If I just like love the leisurely comfort of watching movies at home where I can like get up and get a drink and have a snack and go to the bathroom. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I never go to the movies. My husband goes by himself.
Yes. If I were your husband, I'd probably be doing that too. Cause I love going to the movies. I was really sad during the pandemic when I couldn't get there. So I feel your husband's pain, if that is a thing, if he does have pain around that, but it sounds like he's making the best of it.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, let's get into you a little bit more here. So to give everyone a little sense here, you, Megan, came from the corporate world of financial services, I believe. So, and then that led to co-founding Chime House Media. So what was that pivotal moment that led to the transition from financial services to Chime House Media?
Yeah. So I got into financial services and insurance when I was like coming on 25, because I was like, I need to get a real job. So I went into sales. And it was a great learning experience for me. I'm glad I'm not in the industry anymore, but it taught me a lot and poised me for where I am now. But in starting that business, I was working commission only, building a book of business, and I was previously working in the service industry. So I was like, how am I gonna find clients? Everybody I know, you know, works at a bar or casino or something like that. And so I got on LinkedIn and I really took to the platform and really built my business using that. And I did it for years. And so in the firm that I was at, which was a Fortune 100 firm, they were like, can you train other managers and other agents and other people on how to use this platform? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I kind of became like the LinkedIn girl on how to leverage, you know, online, because that industry is very older, and they do, because you have licenses and you're restricted on how you can market and advertise yourself, you're limited on what you can do. So it was like sorcery to these people that I was using the internet to get clients and that people would meet me. So I did a lot of training in that space. And then I got promoted to a partner where I was then recruiting and growing a team. So I ended up still training the team that I was building on how to use that. And when I decided to move to Charlotte, this was when I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and I decided to move down here, I switched firms and I took to LinkedIn again because I didn't know anybody in Charlotte. And I was like, you know, I'm in a role now where I'm recruiting and I'm building a book of business at the same time, and I have to meet people. So I did the same thing. And then the same thing sort of happened where they had asked me, you know, hey, how are you doing this? You just got here. You have a bunch of candidates coming in. You're networking, you're doing all these events, this and that. And I was like, I'm using LinkedIn. And so the same thing, they were like, can you train, you know, our agents and teach people in the office how to leverage this platform? So I was like, huh, I think that there's something here, because two Fortune 100 firms are really interested in leveraging this platform. And a lot of people want to know how to use it to, you know, build a brand and get clients. And so that's actually how Chime House started, was during COVID. My husband, who works with me now, was interviewing, and of course everything kind of went kaput. And so I was like, well, why don't I just start like a side business doing this LinkedIn coaching and consulting and helping people, you know, sales professionals and things like that, leverage it. And so that's what I did. And then in that, I was, of course, talking to a friend on the phone, and got served a targeted Facebook ad that was like, hey, start a digital marketing side hustle business. And I was like, okay. And I was really green in the online space. It was like a webinar funnel, and I slid right through that like a greased pig. And at the end of it, I ended up buying a course on learning Facebook and Instagram ads. And I was like, well, if I know LinkedIn and I know Facebook and Instagram really well, already as a consumer, but then I can learn it from an advertising perspective, then that's kind of covering the three main platforms where most business owners are from a marketing perspective. And this was, of course, pre-TikTok, pre-Clubhouse and that kind of stuff. So I bought that course. And so I did kind of both for a while. And the ads piece really just took off because it was COVID and everybody was going online. And yeah, I've been focusing on that ever since.
Very cool. So then how did that transition into your podcasting targeted audience, right? You now have a few different programs, a few different options to teach podcasters how to do this or even help them with Facebook advertising. So how did you get from that to creating a target audience of podcasters?
Yeah, it was totally on accident, honestly. I was at a point where like it had been, this was early last year. So at this point, I'd been running my business out for a few years and I was kind of just like burned out on what I was doing. And I was like, what is next? I don't know. Like I was just kind of in that space that we all kind of get in as entrepreneurs where we're just like trying to figure out our whole lives. And so in this time, I had a friend come to me who's a podcaster and also has a membership community where he teaches podcasters. And so he was like, hey, nobody's doing Facebook ads for podcasters. I'll be your guinea pig. Let's try some stuff, which as an advertising person, I'm like, yes, no one ever comes to me and is like, hey, let me just like put up some money so you can try some things. So I was all for that. And it went super well. He was like, you know, it's got to be something that's easy. It's got to be something that is inexpensive. And let's just see what you can do. And I was like, okay. And it went awesome. And so then I ended up actually like totally fully pivoting my business at like the middle of last year to focus solely on helping podcasters grow.
So you and I have gotten to talk a little bit and we did a discovery call because I'm thinking about working with you both for the Podcasting Morning Chat and for our live event in June. So I got to get to know a little bit more. And there's something that you seem really proud of, your trifecta ads strategy for podcasters. Can you break down those three main areas of growth, starting with the importance of building an email list for a podcaster? Because we talk a lot about email lists, and there are some people that are all in, some people who just don't really take that leap and get started. So I'm curious if you could start there.
So most of the clients that I work with tend to be business owners where a podcast is a piece of their marketing strategy, a part of their nurturing strategy for their audience building. And so the three pieces that we focus on are one, email list growth, two, podcast growth, and then three is social media growth. So email list growth is huge for a podcaster because you're building a community of people that you can continue to market to and share your episodes that are coming up to grow your listenership, to get reviews, and to get feedback for your content so that you're creating relevant stuff that your audience wants to hear. So we leverage ads in a way where if someone has a lead magnet or some way that they are bringing people into their business, from an email capacity, we automate that with Facebook ads and continue to put that in front of new people and grow that email list around the clock. So then they, you know, because that we focus on these three pieces, they all really work together holistically to grow your listenership, grow your engagement, and ultimately grow your business. But the email list piece is, and Simone and I talked about this on her podcast, and it's interesting how many podcasters aren't really leveraging an email list because I think it's just a super powerful tool to, you know, nurture your audience. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. It's something that should be focused on more. And I was surprised to find out that it wasn't.
What makes you say that? Like, why do you feel like it's so important to have that email list?
Yeah, because when you're promoting your podcast and your episodes, you know, most people are showing up on Instagram and Facebook, they're like dropping new episodes and it's like reach is terrible. You know, it's like everyone's having a really hard time. I think I was talking to someone about this yesterday. I think 2024 is going to be a weird year for organic. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just I've already been seeing like a super decrease in just reach across the board, organic reach. And an email list is a way that you can cultivate this community that you can always market to and you can get feedback from. And that's a big thing. Like, you can get feedback on what type of content that they want to hear, because it's very different in what we think people want to hear from us and what people actually want to hear from us. A lot of times as a business owner, we're like, oh, we know best. But sometimes we really need to hear it from those people. So you can get great feedback from that. You can, you know, do giveaways for reviews, and everybody, you know, you want reviews on your podcast. You want to help show up in the SEO rankings and those kinds of things. And so it's just this big community that you can continue to lean on, but also nurture over time and offer your products and services too. So it's just, it's so key in a lot of different ways.
Awesome. And, you know, we have somebody in the chat. Michelle asks a question here. How does one start with getting those emails? She wants to know, you know, is that something that you do through the website? How do we collect those emails?
Yeah, good question. So generally, you want to create some type of lead magnet or opt-in that is relevant to your audience. So typically, it's going to be something that's like early in their stages of, you talk about like the bridge of people buying, like where they are now versus where they want to go and how you can help them get there. It's going to be something that's going to be in the early stages of, you know, here's what you need to know to kind of get started and understand. And then just have an opt-in page. You really just need a simple landing page for them to put in their name or email. Or if you don't even want to build one, you can use a Facebook lead form, which we've been leveraging and seeing great results over the past year and a half with those. So if you don't even want to build a landing page, you can actually build your own opt-in form on Facebook through Ads Manager, and people can put their information in there. So I would definitely start with creating some sort of opt-in. It could be a training, it could be a free guide, you know, a masterclass or something like that, that people can opt into. And yeah, that's where I would start.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I see Sid has a question. Go for it, Sid.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Megan, great so far. Really interested. I do have an email list. I have about 600 people on my email list. I send an email out the Tuesday after the show launches on the Monday, which right now is three times a month. That's the only email that I send out. But I get really great engagement. I get like a 60% open rate and a 4-6% click-through rate, which is really, really good. So I believe I have an engaged audience. But my question is about the content of an email that you send out. I have got a really short attention span. I do not dig reading really long emails. So I'm above the scroll guy.
Yeah,
my emails do not require scroll, but then I get some that I swear I have to scroll 5 or 6 times. So could you share an email best practice for us about what you feel about the content inside an email and the number of links and stuff that should be there?
So I do want to preface this and say that I am not an email marketing expert. however, from an email perspective, there's people interact with emails in a lot of different ways. So like you talked about being an above the fold person, me too. Like I am a get to the point. What are you trying to say? Like, I'm not going to read a story where I have to scroll your email 5 times. I'm just not a long form copy type person in that way. But that being said, when crafting an email, you have to realize that a lot of people do like that stuff. And so as far as like a best practice, I think it's just putting in the information that is important, but also can serve the people that are there for the immediate information, but also the people that would like to know more. Because, and I've been guilty of this on my own email list, where like I write emails in the way that I buy, and I recognize that that is not necessarily the best way to do it. So you just want to have a little something for everybody so that you're kind of catering to the people that are above the fold people that, you know, want to know a little bit more about you, or people that want, you know, a little bit more details about what it is that you're sending, and try to cover those bases. It doesn't have to be super duper long, but just think about the fact that people don't buy and read things the way that we do. So hopefully that's helpful. Like I said, I'm not an email marketing expert, But yeah, hopefully that helped.
Absolutely. And I want to dig in also, since we were talking about social media too. I know that's one of the areas of this trifecta ad strategy. So how do you leverage social media to enhance that content's visibility and build an engaged targeted audience for your clients?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are having a hard time getting seen, not only by new people, not only by new eyeballs, but by the people that are already following them. So organic reach is like 1-2%, and it fluctuates. Like last year it was like 0.98, so it got super low, and I'd be interested to see exactly what it is right now. So what we do is we create a strategic ad strategy that is focused on pushing out some of your best content and bringing in new people, getting them to engage with it. And then once they engage with a certain piece of content, then we nurture them and kind of force feed them more of your content to really build that know, like, and trust factor. So we'll show pieces of the podcast. We'll show pieces of, you know, maybe some reviews of clients, some behind the scenes stuff, some get to know you stuff. So we'll run generally about 6 different pieces of content designed to nurture these people, but also keep you top of mind and invisible. And so what it does is there's kind of 2 ways that you can build a quote list. One is obviously an email list where you're getting people to opt in, but 2 is an invisible list on Facebook. And what I mean by that is when people are interacting with your content and engaging with it and liking and sharing, they can be used in a custom audience to then retarget if you are doing a launch or something, or Mark, in the instance of the event, you know, people that, if we do ads for this, we're going to retarget some people that are in your audience to be like, hey, we're doing this awesome event in Charlotte. And so that's kind of an invisible list that grows on the platform. And that's something that we help people build, because it's really, really valuable. And over time, the compound effect is fantastic as far as like seeing really great conversion rates, because these people are warmed up now. So it's a cheap way to bring them into your world, but also continue to nurture them and stay top of mind. Because a lot of the people that I work with are service providers. And so, you know, the name of the game for us a lot of times is just visibility and staying visible and staying seen and getting our messages in front of a lot of people, because, you know, we're not fixing bursted toilets, right? Like, it's not immediate a lot of times when people don't want to hire us. And so it's just about being top and center of mind for when they're ready to.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we, speaking of these social media posts, we have another question in the chat from Soda. She's asking, are these specific kinds of posts that are there? I think is what she meant to say. Are there? Yes. Are there specific kinds of posts that work best for ads? Videos of yourself or photos that show your brand, et cetera, or is it a mix? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's always a mix. We'll generally take some videos, some static stuff, maybe some carousels if you've got them, because people interact with content in different ways. Like, I'm not a video consumer. I like to read. I'll swipe a carousel. I hate watching videos. And so that might not resonate with me. I like different types of content. And a lot of people, you know, you want to make sure you're hitting people in the ways that they like to consume content. So we'll generally use videos, carousels, static posts, and get people, you know, to engage with whatever preferred content style that they like. And as far as like what the content is, we will generally use like, you know, behind the scenes stuff, because the whole goal is to nurture and have people learn more about you and your business. So we'll choose some stuff typically about the podcast. If you've got like a podcast video where you're interviewing, not interviewing, but where it's you talking to the camera. So we'll put some of the podcast stuff there because we want people to know that you have a show. And we will use content that is maybe some behind the scenes stuff, some stuff that is about me, you know, like an intro post, so people can learn a little bit more about you and engage with you in that way. So when you think about like the content, it's mostly nurture content. So when you're thinking about someone engaging with you and the things that they need to know about you that are important to, you know, stay in your world and possibly become a client, those are the pieces that we tend to lean on when selecting them for ads.
Okay, that makes sense. And by the way, if anybody has more questions, feel free to either come up on stage or keep asking them here in the chat. We are monitoring that thanks to some help with the moderators, because as some of you know, I don't generally do a great job paying attention to the chat, but I'm doing my best today. All right, so we've talked about email list. That's one area. Then the second area is that social media piece and really nurturing the audience. So the third pillar, as I understand it, that's the focus on growing podcast listenership, I believe. So what are those key components in crafting ads that effectively attract the right audience to a podcast?
Yeah. So attracting the right audience comes down to a couple of different pieces. One, it's the targeting ability inside of Facebook. So the cool thing about this is that, you know, if you've got a podcast where everyone has a specific topic that they're talking about generally, you can look through Facebook's, you know, behavior, interest, and demographic database and find people that are more likely to listen to your show, either based on the topic or based on their demographics and things like that. And so you're already starting off on, you know, first base, because you're putting yourself in front of people that are already more likely to engage with it versus trying to post it on Facebook and Instagram. And you can hashtag the hell out of it, but you have no control over who's going to see your stuff. And so that is one way. And then another way is making sure you have the right ad copy and things like that, like speaking to the person. Because you have to think about like what people are doing when they're looking at Facebook ads, right? They're always thinking like, what's in it for me when they're scrolling their feed? And so having copy that is crafted to, here's why you should listen to the show. Like, here's what you're going to get out of it. And then having that help bring them over. And so as far as like the ads themselves and engaging with people, we do the same thing I mentioned with like the social media. We are leveraging video, we are leveraging carousels, and we are leveraging static images. At a base minimum, we're running at least three ads at once to see what your audience tends to resonate with. This is probably not going to surprise a lot of you, but video tends to work really, really well, especially when it comes to the podcasting piece. And I've found that a lot of the, I guess, way to put it, but where, you know, the podcaster is talking, tends to do well about talking about the episode and things like that to get people to it. So we've leveraged quite a bit. Sorry, I just had a pop up here that threw me off. But yeah, so we leverage video quite a bit for that. And we also leverage, you know, running ads either to a specific episode or the podcast as a whole. And we kind of test that with all of our clients too. So there's a few different components that we lean into when doing ads for a podcast specifically.
I forgot to ask you something about social media, which is a topic that has been discussed on occasion here. And I've certainly had this discussion with other podcasters in this space. It's around boosting and promoting social media content. It's something you can do on Instagram. You can boost a video, boost your carousels, etc. You can do it on TikTok and other platforms as well. Some people are hesitant to use that because they're afraid if they start using it, then the platform isn't going to naturally push the content out anymore because it's going to want to encourage you to keep paying for it. And I don't really even know if there's validity to that. So I'm just curious, what's your take and what's your stance on boosting content?
So I have a few thoughts around this. And it's funny that you asked this because I had a client literally ask me this yesterday. So I don't know if there's something going around the rumor mill about this. I haven't seen it. But as far as boosting, you don't want to boost. If you're going to spend money with ads, you want to do it in Facebook Ads Manager on your business manager side, because you have a lot more control and you will get better results. But another reason you don't want to boost anymore, especially if you are an Apple user, is that, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Apple is now deeming boosted posts as an in-app purchase. And so they are charging a 30% fee that is being pushed onto the advertiser. So if it wasn't good to boost before, it's certainly not good to boost now. So if you're going to spend money, do it in Ads Manager. And the second piece to that is No, using ads is not going to kill your organic growth. What actually happens is, if you think about these all these platforms, their whole goal is to keep people on the platform. And so they want people engaging with content and staying there and having a great time. That's how virality happens, right? It's like, oh, these people are loving it. They're commenting. They're enjoying it. We're going to show it to a million more people. And so when you're using ads and putting out, you know, your organic content in a paid way, people are engaging with it because you really don't need to worry about the algorithm anymore because you're paying to play. Like, you're going to get reach, you're going to get engagement. It's absolutely guaranteed. And so even though you're paying for it, the algorithm still sees it as people are engaging with this, they're having a good time with this content, so on and so forth. And so what we generally actually tend to see is a lift in the organic growth and engagement and reach, even for the stuff that we aren't using from a Facebook ads perspective. So we tend to see it overall actually help with the stuff that you're putting out consistently that might not even be an ad.
Interesting. That is fascinating and good to know about boosting. More reasons maybe not to do that, but more importantly, interesting that it's almost like you're getting rewarded for using their platform to pay for advertising, and then that organic reach gets rewarded, it sounds like, right? That's fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then let me ask you, as far as what you've seen so far, what are some of those common challenges that podcasters are facing when they're trying to grow their audience through ads specifically, and how do you think your strategy addresses those challenges?
Well, I would say, like, I haven't had anybody really come to me that was trying to use ads and not having success. I think this is something that is new as far as an opportunity. At least that's what I have experienced with people that I have worked with. What I've seen is just, you know, a lot of times when you're wanting to grow and promote your podcast, it's a lot of cross promoting. It's a lot of social media posting and just kind of an organic grind. And there's only so much time that you have. And that's the thing that is really great about Facebook ads, because all this whole strategy just works behind the scenes for you while you are continuing to run your business and be on other podcasts and do those things, because you're tapped out on time. So a lot of times my clients, when they're coming to me, they're like, I'm doing this stuff organically. I have all this stuff sorted together, but like, I can't physically do more. And that's where Facebook ads can really come in and leverage their time, but also get great results. I mean, we have seen from our clients, which this like continues to like blow my mind. But I just offboarded a client recently, and we were having, we saw 100% increase in downloads in 30 days. We saw an 86% increase in engaged listeners in 30 days. And another client that I was working with too, we also noticed that the people that were coming from the ads were listening to the episode entirely, listening to it all the way through. So we've seen some really, really great results leveraging this strategy from a growth perspective.
Awesome. And that was actually going to be my next question. So good to hear some of these success stories. You've mentioned it a couple of times, and I wanted to find out from you. So you said you work with your husband at Chime House Media. And I would imagine that brings some unique dynamics. And I'm curious, how do you actually balance that professional, I'll call it collaboration, with your personal relationship?
Yeah. Y'all, it is hard, I will tell you. It is not something that we've perfected, but we're definitely in the best place now than we've ever been. And it's just been a lot of learning, because I'm an entrepreneur, like through and through. He's more of like a business owner, if that makes sense. And so it's just been a lot of like learning how each one of us works. And I think what we have found is like, we work together under the umbrella of the business, but we've been working on separate projects, and that has actually kind of been better for us. So there's, you know, it's really been a learning experience for sure. But I think the key with working with your spouse is like, you just have to have open communication. Like, if you're not vibing with something that's going on, like, you don't want it to bleed into your marriage and like absolutely destroy your life, because like there's some like networking groups and stuff that we're in Charlotte, and we tell people who work together, like, oh my God, my marriage was destroyed from my business. And I'm like, well, you run a manufacturing plant. It's a little bit different, you know, when you got stuff like that going on versus, you know, an online business. But I think just having the open communication and being honest about how you're feeling about things, but then making sure that you're making a game plan on, okay, how are we going to move forward in a positive way? And also make sure that, you know, we're moving collectively towards our end goal. And we talk a lot about like where we're going, because sometimes, you know, days aren't the best. And so reinvigorating ourselves with like, here's why we're doing this, has also been really helpful. So I don't know if that answers your question. I definitely am not a marriage counselor. we're just out here learning, Mark. We're just out here learning.
Yes. And what you're saying is good communication professionally works just as well as good communication personally in a relationship. Yes.
100%.
Makes sense to me. I see John's joined us. John, I'm coming to you in a second. I want to get to Michelle's, well, not really a question, but more of a statement, but I'm going to phrase it into a question. Michelle's in the chat and she's talking about she's used Facebook ads for another business. And she felt like, I'm just paraphrasing now, she felt like she spent a ton of money in order to make it work. So is that the case? Do we have to put in a big investment into Facebook ads, or do you have an affordable strategy around that?
Yeah, so you don't necessarily, where ads tend to become really expensive is when there's not a lot of strategy going on, or maybe things aren't set up correctly. There's nuances with Facebook ads in that way. But when my friend came to me about this whole strategy and the way that this whole thing started, he was like, it's got to be like cheap and affordable, and it's got to be like not techie so that like most people can do it. And I was like, okay, fair. And so the strategy that we run, the trifecta ad strategy, honestly, we're running between $10 and $20 a day on a minimum. And then, you know, obviously you can scale up if you want to, but no, it doesn't have to be where you're spending $10,000 on ads to be able to get results. And that's why we wanted to create the course, and like, why I'm just sharing this out for everybody and anyone is like, they don't have to be like super scary and super expensive, because there's a lot of lure around that. They can be really effective and really impactful for not a lot of money for us as, you know, solopreneurs. Most of the clients I work with are solopreneurs, or maybe they have a VA or OBM or something, or a smaller team. But yes, it is not a super expensive strategy to leverage.
That's good to hear. And you know, Megan has a bunch of different ways that you can learn about this stuff. And I've been sharing some links here on Clubhouse. I will absolutely share these links as well in the show notes. And we will get to Megan to share a little bit more about these programs that she offers. I do want to go to John. John, welcome to the stage. Did you have a question for Megan?
I did. And by the way, Megan, thank you so much for your input and for clarifying about the Facebook boosting. I gave up on it a long time ago. Most of my ads that I do are to pay-per-click per follower using the Facebook Business Manager, and it works very well. I have targets that I use. Mm-hmm. The question I have is, you really piqued my interest with 100% increase in downloads. So can you just briefly go over the strategy for promoting episodes of your show? Is it a specific episode, or is it the show in general?
That is a great question. So we tend to test both with our clients. We will run ads to the overall show, and we will also run ads to an overall episode, and then just kind of see what happens. What I've noticed in running to the overall show is that people tend to gravitate towards, we always tend to see an uptick in solo episodes. And so I get this question a lot where people are like, should I use an episode where I'm interviewing somebody if the conversation is great and that sort of thing? I tend to lean towards no. From a paid advertising perspective, because you're essentially paying to advertise somebody that's not you. But you also want to position yourself as the expert in solo episodes. Solo episodes tend to do that. So yes, we use both. We run to the episode or to the podcast as a whole alongside running adds to an episode specifically.
I just, my personal experience is I have not had great luck promoting individual episodes. I've had more luck promoting the total brand. So that's a strategy I'll certainly take. And I agree with you. I don't believe in spending money to advertise someone else. I just don't.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's see. We have Brian up here. Before we get to Brian's question, Megan, which of the services right now come to mind that you offer that you'd want to share with our group? Pick one of the different things that you do.
Yeah. So our podcast Audience Amplifier is our new course and community that I launched about a month ago that is like my main focus for growing. And I'm really excited about it. So it's a course component teaching you how to run this trifecta ad strategy yourself. My whole goal with the course was to make it easy. It's not one of those Facebook ads courses that either A, doesn't teach you how to run ads, which apparently is a thing. Blows my mind. But two, you're not going to go in there and find 50 different modules on every single thing inside of Facebook and blah, blah, blah. It's four modules and like 12 lessons, and then you'll get your ads up and running, you know, by the time you're done with that. So, and there's also a community component on the back end as well, where we do live coaching, Q&As, and provide live support as you're working through the course. And yeah, it's a monthly subscription. So it's $97 a month, and you get access to the unlimited access to the course, the community support as you're starting to learn and implement this strategy. So that's something I'm really excited about. And is my main focus this year is just to grow that community, because I just really think it's going to be stellar, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and very affordable as well. And I love that it's also a bit of a, I mean, with your guidance, it's a DIY kind of thing where people can really learn how to do this, which I definitely promote that to people. I think it's so important for podcasters, especially DIYers, to really learn these things so that when they are ready to start contracting the workout or hiring people, that they can really explain what it is they want, what it is they're looking for, they understand the strategy, etc. So I love that you're doing that. Thank you for doing that. And what do you think, as far as if it's a podcaster that's contemplating using Facebook and Instagram for advertising, what, besides joining that group, what advice would you give a podcaster to help get them started?
Well, I would, there is some, I guess, I don't want to say pre-work, but I think there are some things that should be in place when, as it relates to your podcast and your business before you start moving into paid advertising. So, and I'll kind of talk about it in the way of the trifecta strategy. So from a social perspective, you want to make sure that like the content that you're posting is talking to your ideal person and that you're posting fairly consistently. So that when new, you know, this is all a traffic machine. And so you have to think about like, if you're shoveling a bunch of traffic to a place where people aren't sure they should be or don't know where to go once they get there, it's not going to help you. So you want to make sure you're leveraging your platforms that you're already using. So like your link in bio, make sure that it's clear, make sure you know who you're talking to in your content, that sort of thing. From an email perspective, you know, make sure that you have a nurture sequence and things like that for when people start to come into your email list. You don't want to pay to acquire somebody to your email list to have them sit there and not be engaged. And then maybe you email them in a month and they're like, I don't remember this, I'm going to unsubscribe. So make sure you have something like that in place. And from the podcast perspective, you know, make sure you've got good, elaborate show notes and you have a call to action at the end of your episodes where people can take the next step with you, whether that's booking a call, whether that is, you know, joining your email list, whatever it might be. You want to make sure that all these three areas are, the foundations are set to be able to handle more traffic and have it be more fluid and congruent when people start to come into your world from an advertising perspective.
Yep, makes sense. I see we have Brian on stage. Good morning to you, Brian. Do you have a question for Megan?
Hi, Megan. Thank you, Mark. It's more like a statement than anything else, but I've only used ads for Reels. I don't do anything fancy in terms of podcasting. I just do my show right now through my YouTube, although I did do a post promoting the show I did last week, and actually shared a link as a post on Facebook, something I usually don't do. And I was surprised that it got the reach that it did, considering how down Facebook gets about YouTube. But yeah, these were like really good nuggets to learn about ads for podcasters. I consider myself very amateur, but I enjoy everything that you shared this morning. So thank you, Megan.
Oh, thanks, Brian. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brian. Yep, Megan, that actually somehow sparked something for me. What do you say to people? I definitely hear people saying this, that Facebook doesn't work. It just doesn't work, right? Like, what would you say to somebody that were to say that to you?
Yeah, well, it does work, but I think there are a lot of reasons why people think that. There are a lot of things that can happen that makes people feel like it doesn't work. There's, you know, mismatched expectations. Maybe they tried to do it themselves and they didn't set things up correctly because, you know, I never want to bite the hand that feeds, but the user experience from a Facebook advertising standpoint is just awful. And so for someone that isn't familiar with the platform, there are certain things when you're setting up the ads that you might not know need to be checked or not checked or that sort of stuff that can really affect ad performance. And so if you don't have a strategy and you're going at it willy-nilly and then you're thinking it doesn't work, like it probably didn't work in that fashion. But taking a more strategic approach and having a little bit of knowledge can really help you have more success with that. Because yes, I hear that all the time, is that they don't work. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. I've been on calls with people that, you know, I do like a tech call where people have problems if they're having problems like setting things up and they want to get some expert eyes on it. And I take a look at why their campaign's not performing and they don't have it set up correctly. They're tracking the wrong event. They don't have the right campaign objective selected. And so there's a lot of different things that can play into that. So that's why I definitely recommend getting some sort of professional or expert help in getting started with this stuff, because it is a nuanced skill some of the time.
Absolutely. And I wanted to wrap up with, well, first I wanted to ask Simona, what, again, please remind us, what day does the first episode of the four episodes come out with you and Megan?
Oh, great question. Okay, so the first episode comes out next Thursday. So the podcast drops every Thursday. I'll break down the four episodes for you. So the first episode is understanding the basics and like going into how to set up, not the specific like, you know, play-by-play of how to set up your account, but things you need to watch for. What is a pixel? Like all of the basic questions of how to set up everything on Facebook. So that's the first part. And then each week breaks down the trifecta strategy. So I believe we started with social media and then I think we did podcast first, then social media, and then we did email marketing. So it'll release in that order. And so if you like what Megan shared today, we go in depth for about 20 minutes on each of these topics. So you'll definitely want to check it out.
I will also include a link in the show notes to where you can access Simona's podcast before it comes out with Megan next week. So this way you are set and ready to go. And Megan, please share, what's the best way everyone can get in contact with you if they're interested? And you may have noticed I'm sharing here on Clubhouse the link to your VIP day. So if you want to share a little bit about that too, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So the VIP day is probably our most popular service. And so what the VIP day is during one whole day, I will build out this entire trifecta ad strategy for you. And we launch the ads the following day or the following week. So it's very efficient. We get a lot done in that day. But during that day, I'm also coaching you, educating you, answering all your questions on what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and what the overall goal is with this. But we also provide a 30-day support window as well. So once the ads actually start running and results start coming in, then, you know, you have an idea of what to look for. And I help support you in that 30 days. We have 2 one-to-one Zoom meetings to talk about the results, answer questions, and just get you comfortable with managing the strategy. Because it's not a crazy strategy where it might sound like it might be, but it's not a crazy difficult strategy to manage ongoing. And so after the 30 days, then you'll manage the ads yourself. So that's the VIP day. And to get in touch with me, I hang out on Instagram a lot. I love a voice note. So feel free to slide into my DMs. I'm at Chime House Media. And then I'm also on Facebook obviously I have my business page, but that's not really where I hang out. I hang out under my Megan Shields page. So you are welcome to look for me and connect with me there as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Megan. And you'll be able to also connect with Megan at the live event coming up in Charlotte at the end of June. She will be there helping us out, leading some discussions, etc. We're so excited to have Megan a part of this community and so excited you were here today. Thank you, Megan. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm really looking forward to the event in June. And I've already got people locally that are like, tell me about this. So I have a few people that are wanting to apply to speak. And I think it's just going to be stellar. I think Charlotte is a market that is primed for something like this. And I just can't wait to see the impact and how awesome it is. So thank you for putting it on and letting me be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to everybody here today with your questions in the chat and your discussions in the chat. And thanks to those of you who came up on stage as well. Really appreciate you. And we are back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern time, talking all things podcasting and content creation. And remember, we do it every Monday through Friday, same time in the morning, live here on Clubhouse. And then we release it at 7 a.m. Pacific time to the masses via podcast. So please make sure you are following the podcast, rating it and reviewing it and doing all the things. We appreciate you. And until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.